catching him sitting down, completely unready to come up here. A good friend and a terrific guy and somebody who, if you haven't heard before, I think you're in for an outstanding experience, John Bradshaw.
You're beautiful. Thank you. Thank you very much. I am so happy to be back in Denver. I feel a great deal of love here, and it's really wonderful. And I appreciate you coming out tonight. I want to tell you how much I appreciate Stephen Halpern, who has been a great inspiration in my life. I've got everything that he's done that I know of on tape, and I've used Spectrum Suite and Zodiac Suite and Starborn Suite. One of the greatest experiences of my life was coming down Breckenridge Mountain, the green slopes, playing Starborn Suite. And you weren't supposed to do that, but I didn't know that till they caught me. But it was just really wonderful. And Stephen and I had a great talk today, and I think that what he does is going to be so important in the years that are coming for the adult children movement, because he really witnesses to the power of finding an inner life. And Bobby was describing just now, and what any of us from a dysfunctional family know is that we had no inner life. We could not have an inner life. You're too busy adapting to the stress that's going on to be able to know, to look at those internal cues of what you feel or what you need or what you want. So it's real important, I think, that we have Stephen Halpern here tonight in this kind of happening, this celebration that we've come together with. And I'm very grateful to Stephen for being here. I'm also very grateful to my friend Bobby Earle for the kind of love and support that he's given me over the years. And Bobby is a guy who for years talked and gave himself freely to the AA community and other communities without asking anything in return, paid his own way to go there for years, and literally has been one of the great inspirations in the movement. And so I just can't tell you how much I appreciate you being here tonight, Bobby, and introducing me. And Bobby will be here on September the 23rd, 4th, and 5th with Bob Subby at the Clarion Hotel to do a workshop. Those of you who are coming to workshop tomorrow, I'll give you a phone number that you can call, but you can call the Clarion Hotel around that time and find out about Bobby Earle and Bob Subby's workshop, and I heartily recommend what they're both doing. We're here tonight to celebrate, and to celebrate the success, even if it be one day. Or if you're one of those functional people that came to hear Stephen tonight, as Bobby pointed out, and Stephen is very functional. We ate lunch together today, and he sent the food back. Jesus, I almost went through the seat. I was raised in a family where we never took the food. I mean, my God, you didn't want to hurt the waitress's feelings. If the shoes didn't fit, you waited till you were crippled to take them back. You didn't want to hurt the shoe salesman's feelings. And Stephen looked at his meal and said, "That's not right," and that was it, boy. And I thought, my God, this man is functional. How beautiful that is. So if you're one of the functional people, you can still come here to celebrate this beautiful place in the mountains. I was thinking of a poem. I love poetry. Calm soul of all things, Matthew Arnold's poem. Calm soul of all things, make it mine. to feel amid the city's jar that there abides a piece of thine that man did not make and cannot mar. If we just come to celebrate that there's this place, this beautiful place that we can't mar, that has its own energy and its own spirit. So wherever you are, if it's one day of sobriety, if you've never had to consider dysfunctional issues, if you're 10 years, 5 years, or whatever, we're celebrating. We're celebrating life. We're celebrating, many of us are celebrating finding our life, going through years of our life. I used to say that the first 30 years of my life were incredibly exciting. I wished I had been in on it. I was dissociated most of the time. I get asked on interview shows, have you ever had an out-of-body experience? And I stop for a second and think, I've hardly ever been in my body. Addiction is not being in your body. It's alcoholism's not about thirst. Eating disorders are not about hunger. Sexual addiction is not about being horny. These are different kind of problems. So we're celebrating our success. And I was thinking of a wonderful little statement that I heard one time about success, that success is different at different stages of development. From not wetting your pants in infancy, to being well-liked in childhood and adolescence, to getting laid in young adulthood, to making money and having worth in middle adulthood, to getting laid in later middle adulthood, to not wetting your pants in senility. So, that's not exactly what we're here to celebrate, but it's kind of funny. Now we're here to celebrate the process of finding ourselves and finding our lives and finding a new community of people that we can share our spirit, strength, and hope with. And to talk about ourselves and our feelings and our needs and what's happened to us, and to break years of conspiracies, sometimes multi-generations of silence and shame that puts us into hiding. We're here to celebrate. And we're here to celebrate the victory over some of the traits of codependency. And one of the things that I wanted to point out tonight is that there are great strengths in our codependency. That I gave a lecture recently at the Center for Recovering Families on the strengths of codependency. As codependents, we lived in this grandiose, all-or-nothing, black-and-white world. What I'm learning as I grow older and get some experience and get into recovery is that the world is not black or white. That the world is polarity. And it seems like wise people of all time have told us that life is about polarity. That life is about that there is no joy without sorrow. There are places in the heart that do not yet exist. Pain must be in order that they be. That there is no sound without silence. That there is no light without darkness. So that we've got to learn that it's important to look at some of the kinds of traits that we carry from dysfunctional families. Imagine a 5-year-old little boy trying to adapt to his father in the closet or his mother in the clothes dryer. A child who desperately needed people, who had dependency needs. That is, needs that you can't get met without depending on somebody. And imagine having a mother and daddy that are basically 5 years old raising you. So what we had to learn to do was survive. We had to learn to survive. Our center in Houston burnt down. And I think it was an irate client, but we don't know that for sure. But our center burnt down. And within 3 days, we had a new center. Dale and Mary just went into action. Man, you want to see codependency work. Survival. We know how to survive. We've been surviving all our lives, and there's some great strength in that. Dissociation. It's good to know how to dissociate. It got me through medieval Latin, knowing how to dissociate. There was a guy, a poor little seminarian that was with me. He used to go to sleep during medieval Latin. He was from a functional family. This poor guy would be in Hawaii dancing with girls. I knew how to dissociate. It's good to know how not to feel. If you're a doctor, it's real good. I don't want a doctor enamored with my dorsal aorta. You know, I want him to be able to be a machine when he operates on me. It's good to know how not to feel if the policeman stops you. It's good to know how not to feel if you're in the midst of a trauma and you need to have all your wits about you. So those strengths can be used. It's good to know how to adapt and be flexible. I've never felt at home. We moved 18 times in the first 20 years of my life, or 25 years of my life. I was basically homeless. I feel at home almost anywhere. That's one of the neat things about being homeless as a child. So it's real important that we take a night or we spend some time occasionally and focus on the strengths that we have, the survival skills. And we begin to realize that we don't have to make those skills the extremes and absolutes that they've been in our life, that we can integrate them into a balance and a polarity and come out on the other side using those skills to our advantage. So I invite you to celebrate, you know, the things that you know how to do and the way that you've survived. You know, one of the things I was thinking of recently, I was going to write a book called Your Worst Fear Has Already Happened to You. Because we, all of us codependents, kids from dysfunctional families, shame-based people, we live in this terror of abandonment. And how do we get this terror of abandonment? By being abandoned. We got abandoned a long time ago. And as you embrace this little child within you, and you begin to get to the child and the adult child, we begin to realize, heck, we've been surviving abandonment for years. So you've got the strengths. You know how to do it. You've already done it. I saw something today that I wrote down. It's from a book called The Way of Transformation by Carlfried von Durkheim, a good Irishman. And Durkheim wrote, only to the extent that man, woman expose themselves over and over again to annihilation, can that which is indestructible arise within us. In this lies the dignity of risking and daring. The goal of living life in inner peace is not to acquire a state of harmony where nothing can ever trouble us. Maybe Bob's Buddhist friends. I was in a monastery. I know what that's like. It was the greatest year of my life. There was nothing to bother me. I just stayed in isolation the whole time. On the contrary, inner peace allows us to be perturbed, to be insulted, to be moved, to be broken, to be battered, in order that we may discover in doing battle that which awaits us beyond the world of opposites. See, in the healing of our lives, we've got to go from an Aristotelian logic which says all or nothing to a Hegelian logic which says that for every thesis there's an antithesis that creates a synthesis. That something new comes out of it. That if we can embrace it, Sharon Wechsler talks about lost and found. See, I've lost my family of origin. I truly have. I'm the scapegoat now. I'm no longer the hero. I quit being the hero. I'd call home, they'd say, how are you? And I'd say, well, not bad for somebody emotionally disturbed. They didn't like that. That broke me out of the system. I went to workshops for years practicing how to be a follower because I wanted to quit being a hero. Now, I like the accolades, and I like being in the center of Red Rocks Arena. But I'm not doing that for the same reasons that I used to do it, and I know that for a fact. I'm no longer a codependent caretaker. I'm a caregiver, and I know that for a fact. And those are the things that I'm celebrating tonight. My own inner motivation, my own inner peace, my own sense of relationship to myself. And so it's real important. Thank you. It's real important that we take those qualities that we have. I love the part of me that's people-pleasing. I love the politicalness that I have, and that I know how to talk to people, and then I know how to be friendly to people. Now, every once in a while, I have an outbreak of severe codependency with that. You know, like I'm at the golf course, and these guys come in our view, and they're on the hole, and we're waiting to hit, and I'm getting angry, and I'm mouthing four-letter words. And then I see the guy two holes later, and he says, "I'm sorry I held you up." And I say, "We wanted to wait." And I'm with my buddy Mike Falls, who's an Episcopal priest friend of mine. He's over at the tree, vomiting. Well, see, that's an outbreak of codependency. And I understand that, and I have about four of those a day. But that's progress. This stuff doesn't go quickly. So the first thing we're celebrating is the strengths, so that we don't get into this all or nothing. See, it bothers me sometimes in recovery where I see people who've come out of perfectionistic, controlling, blaming, rigid families who now become perfectionistic, controlling, blaming, and rigid in their recovery. And they're shaming themselves constantly because they're not getting recovery right. And that's real dangerous. You know, it ain't worth recovering if you're going to go through that again. Like, I remember sitting there in an AA club seeing a guy who's 27 years older sober with a pistol in his pocket. You know, saying, "AA never did a damn thing for me." You know, I said to myself, I don't want to be like that. I want sobriety. I want life to be fun and happy and to enjoy it and to live life while I got it. And I'd rather be drunk. It was a lot more enjoyable. So I think it's real important that we celebrate that there are great strengths that come out of dysfunctional families. We don't want to absolutize them, over-identify with them. We want to integrate them into our lives. We want to love ourselves for the things we have, for the places in our heart that could not have been without the pain. You know that thing Leon Bloss says, there are places in the heart that do not yet exist. Pain must be in order that they be. That the deeper that sorrow carves in your being, the more joy you can contain. Is not the cup that holds your wine the very cup that was burned in the potter's oven? And is not the music that plays your music the very lute that was whittled with knives? See, so what a strange thing is pleasure and pain. What a strange thing is codependency and the traits of codependency. So I invite you tonight to celebrate the real, true, powerful strengths that you have that can be integrated into your life. Now, the second thing that I invite you to celebrate is what I call the power of the personal. And what I want to do is just do a little meditation with you and in this beautiful setting to help you get in touch with what I call the power of the personal. The power of the personal is something like this, that 40 years ago or however long it was, you know, one drunk who couldn't quite make it turned to another drunk who couldn't quite make it, and together they made it. See, one drunk turned to another person. Or from my theological background, I come out of a Christian background. The power of the personal. Here was someone like Jesus Christ who said, "I am the truth. I am the way." Well, my God, can you imagine being at a party hearing some guy say that? You'd think he was out of his gourd. But to me, what it says is that it's about the personal. It's about the power of the personal. It's about a person. Kierkegaard, the great Danish theologian, said that the content of this religion is a person. And I like that. That the idea is that it's about a relationship and about a person. So I want you to think now for a second, if you just kind of get comfortable, and let me take you on a little light meditation. Just start off maybe by focusing on something. something out here in this space, some spot in the rocks maybe, or on the stage, and just let your conscious mind focus on that. And just for now, there's no place you have to go. There's nothing you have to do. There's no face you have to prepare to meet the faces that you meet. There's no game you have to play. You can just be here now. You can just let yourself become part of this great space we're in. Sitting next to brothers and sisters, and we're all here together to celebrate our own personal journeys of truth, our own quest for happiness and bliss and a good life. And as you're looking at whatever you're looking at, just remember that long ago when you were children in school, you learned to make mental images. Teacher put numbers on the board, and it seemed so difficult at first. A 3, and a 6, and a 9, and then a 1 and a 0, and a 10 and an 11 and a 12. And somehow, in order to know that, you had to make a mental image of every 3 and compare that with a mental image of a 6 and a 9 and a 12. Now you do that without even thinking. So if you just close your eyes and keep seeing the image of what you were staring at in your mind's eye now, you don't have to speak. You can keep looking at that image and let your ears be open to hearing what I'm saying, to any other sounds that may interest you in this environment. And just for a few minutes, if you just focus on your breathing, just what it's like in your body to breathe. What happens in your body when you breathe? And notice the air as it comes in and as it goes out. And be aware of the difference in the air as it comes in and as it goes out. And as you breathe in and out, just let that air come up into your forehead. You feel any tension there, just let it go. Breathe it out. And then breathe in around your eyes and your eyelids. Just breathe out that tension. And just let your eyes close tightly and roll your eyes back and just feel them lock into place. So you can have this revelry, this light trance. And then let them relax. Let your eyes relax. And breathe into your jaws and around your mouth where we hold so much tension. We hold back our feelings. And breathe that out. And then breathe down into your neck and shoulders. And breathe out any tension there. And then all the way down through your body, through your arms, down through your chest. Nice deep breath. Just breathing it out, letting go. Letting go. Letting go just as much as it's appropriate for you to let go, and holding on, since you can't hold on without letting go or let go without holding on. And just allow your whole body to relax. Let that warm kind of feeling of relaxation spread down into your hips and knees. Down into your thighs and down into your calves and down into your feet. And just for now, just let it go. Just let it go and be here now. And just for now, listen to the music. As you listen to that music, imagine that you've gotten up and you've begun to walk off down a mountain path. And you're all alone, feeling good and warm inside. You're just walking along, feeling the earth as you walk, seeing what you see, hearing what you hear. Smelling whatever you smell. Just imagine that up ahead of you, you begin to see somebody in the clearing. A clearing, and it's somebody that's been very important to you in your life. It's somebody that was influential in transforming your life. It may have been an aunt or an uncle or a parent or the person that got you into recovery group. Just let that person come to you. And just be aware of that person, what they look like. Maybe hear their voice, what they sound like. And what your life might have been like if that person hadn't been there. Just feel that sense of gratitude that that person was there for you at that time and that place in your life. That person be joined by someone else, maybe someone else that was important to you, someone that is important to you now. People that represent the healing relationships could be a teacher, sponsor, a friend. Could be somebody whose book you read and you don't even know, who'll never know how much they've meant to you. Just imagine yourself embracing those people and recognizing the power of those people in your life. And maybe there's a letter you want to write or a phone call you want to make just to acknowledge, to tell them, I love you, I appreciate you. You'll never know what you meant to me. Maybe you've already done that many times. But just let yourself tonight be aware of how important some person was in changing your life. And just give them all a nice love and a warmth and say goodbye and begin walking back down your path. And as you walk back, think of the words of Claudel, who said, we are the condition of salvation, one for the other. That sometimes it's only through the being of one person coming into our life that our lives change. And that we have to remember that, because we may be that person for someone else. That opportunity to say something, to share, to be honest, may be the occasion, the beginning, of a kind of salvation for someone else. And then just imagine you've come back to your place. You've come back to your place here. Another poet said, "There's no one of our brothers or sisters we can do without. In the heart of the meanest miser, the most squalid prostitute, the most miserable drunkard, there is an indestructible center, an immortal soul with holy aspirations, which, deprived of daylight, worships in the night. We hear them speaking when we go down on our knees. We need them all. There's no one of them we can do without." Slowly, just imagine you could look up and you could see the clouds form the number 5. And as you look at that number 5, you remember these people that have mirrored you and accepted you and loved you, that you could come before with your shame and be seen, and they still loved you. And that's a model for us to do the same for others. See the number 4. Just let yourself feel your feet and your hands and feel the life coming up through your legs and your hips into your chest and your arms. And then see the number 3. Feel the life coming up through your neck, up into your head, and you know you're coming back now to your place here. And see the number 2, and just know that you're present now. In just a moment, very slowly, when you open your eyes, you'll be fully restored to your waking consciousness. And now see the number 1. And as you see the number 1, just slowly open your eyes. Just slowly open your eyes and be present here. Be present here in that moment of reverie. If you would now, just take a couple of minutes and share with your friend, share with somebody next to you about that person that's been responsible, been important in your life. Say it out of your mouth to a friend. Thank you.
Okay, folks.